Open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Tonight I want to talk to you about being careful and troubled about many things. Those are the Bible terms, careful and troubled. It might hit home a little bit more if I said to you, I wanted to speak to you tonight about being anxious and disturbed. That hit home a little better. Tonight we're going to learn about being anxious or having anxiety and being disturbed. And having been your pastor now for almost 5 years, I happen to know well just how disturbed some of you really are. But we want to learn about that. Those are realities. Stress and anxiety are real problems in our society today, but some of you might think it's a new thing, and it's nothing new. It's nothing new. Stress has been a reality since mankind fell in the garden. Sin has brought about all of the trouble that we have in the world, all of the sin, all the sorrow, the sickness, the death. Everything that we deal with in the world today that's a problem comes from sin, ultimately, is the root of it all. And so it's nothing new, but we want to learn about it a little bit tonight as we see Martha and Mary, Jesus in their house, Martha being cumbered about with many things and being careful and troubled about many things. I think it'll hit home for all of us tonight. Let's stand together if you're able. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne tonight, pray that you'd help me to preach by your Spirit. I pray that you would convict our hearts here tonight. Lord, help us to trust in you more. Lord, we believe. Help thou our unbelief. Lord, as we face stress in this life, Lord, help us to realize that if it gets to us, it has to come through you first. And help us to respond in the right way to the stress that we're faced with on a daily basis. Lord, I pray that we would look to you for all things. I pray that you would give me wisdom and help me say the right things in the right way tonight to speak the truth in love. Convict our hearts and help us to have ears to hear, Lord. I pray that you convict our hearts, and I pray that we would trust in you more and more. Please help us to have peace in our hearts and in our minds today and every day until you take us home. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Most of you are familiar with Mary and Martha and those things, but we need to understand tonight that stress is a reality, and as we kind of walk through this passage of Scripture tonight, I hope to share with you some practical tips as well in regards to stress. Stress is something that everybody deals with. Everybody has to endure stress in their life. Stress is just really the outward force, though. What we do with that is what really matters, though, because we hear those terms a lot today, anxiety and anxiety disorders and all types of things like that. But I want to tell you tonight that everybody has stress. Not all stress is bad, and how we respond to that stress biblically will change our lives. Amen. It'll change our lives. And so as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Can I just remind you that as they went, I love the plurality, because wherever Jesus went, his disciples went with him. There's a good lesson for us right now, isn't it? It's wherever Jesus is going, that's where I need to go. I need to follow him day by day. And then we see that he was received into a certain woman named Martha's house. He was received or admitted under her roof. And this idea of being received means that he was entertained hospitably. In other words, it wasn't just that she said, come on in. It means that she would have him come in and that she would be entertaining him or providing for him while he was there. She also had a sister called Mary. We see that she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. It's interesting to note that the word sat here in this particular Greek word is used only once in all of your New Testament, and it means to sit down near to. And so she sat down and she got really close to the Lord Jesus's feet. That's good, isn't it? I'm assuming if you're here tonight that Jesus is a part of your life, or at least maybe you'd like Jesus to be a part of your life, but we don't want to just have Jesus as a part of our life. We need to be near to the Lord. We need to follow him wherever he goes, but we need to come and be very near to him. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus every day. We need to be close to him. And then the Bible says that she heard. This word heard is akouo. We get the word acoustics from it. And so we get that. We hear, but it specifically means to give audience to. In other words, it wasn't just noise in her ears, but she had ears to hear. She was listening to understand the Lord. When we read our Bibles, we need to read them to hear from God and to understand what he's saying. When we listen to the preaching of God's word, we need to have ears to hear. We need to listen to give audience so we can hear to understand. Because, friends, we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We don't want to just hear what it says. We need to understand what it says so that we can apply what it says. She had a sister called Mary, verse 39, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Verse 40 says, but Martha. We see the contrast. Jesus came into the house and Mary couldn't think that there was anything better to do, more important to do, more pressing to do than to sit down and listen to Jesus. If Jesus is in the house, all the other things that need to be done, maybe they're important, but they're not nearly as important as sitting at Jesus' feet. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Again, this short passage of Scripture has a lot of unique words in it. This word cumbered is only used once as well in the New Testament. And it means to draw all around. To draw all around. Just like the jailer drew his sword and was going to kill himself in the book of Acts. You remember that? There was an earthquake. He thought everybody got out, so he drew his sword. That idea of drawing, but this word cumbered means to draw all around. And this is interesting, and I think you can maybe relate to this a little bit. She was drawn or dragged all around, and then it says she was cumbered about. So it repeats itself again. She was drawn all around. And do you ever feel like life is doing that? I've never been diagnosed with anything. I don't go to the doctors who can diagnose me because I don't want to know. But so many people today have attention deficit and things like that. When I was growing up, I thought that's just what it meant to be a boy. Just, man, you know, squirrel. That's just the way it is. But how many of you feel like your day's like that? You're being drawn all around. And you're over here, and then you're over there, and then you're over here, and you go to do something, and you forget, oh, I got to do something else, or you're talking to somebody, and a word triggers something else, and so you're over there. And some of us live that way. We're just drawn all around, and that's the picture we have of Martha. She's cumbered about. She's just drawn all around to these different things, and she's overwhelming herself with the business at hand. She's dragged all around. The Bible says that she was cumbered about much serving. And the word much means that. It means a great, a many, a largely a amount of serving. Now, it's important for us to remember tonight that it is not wrong to serve others. Listen, Martha wasn't doing a bad thing. It's not a bad thing if Jesus comes over to get busy and do the work around the house and fix him something to eat and to take care of him, to make sure he's got water to wash his feet, to make sure he's got a place to sit, and to make sure he's got something to eat. Nothing wrong with that. That's all a good thing. Right? It's not that she was doing something bad. It's just that she wasn't doing the best. You see, there's something to be said for timing. You'll notice that Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet and was hearing his word. That meant that while Martha was busy doing all this work and being busy all around the place, Jesus was sitting down and teaching. Jesus was teaching. He was preaching. He was giving the word. Therefore, when the word of God is going forth, it's not the time to be cooking dinner or doing dishes. That's a good lesson, isn't it? It's a good lesson. It's a good lesson for Baptists. We know how important meals are. Thank you. If I don't say anything else, it gets an amen tonight. That ought to be it. I told you before about the show and tell kids that brought their stuff to school. And Mary came and she said, "My name's Mary. I'm a Catholic. This is a crucifix." And she talked about it. And little David came up and he said, "My name's David. I'm a Jew and this is the Star of David." And he talked about that, talked about his religion. And then little Johnny came up and he said, "My name's Johnny. I'm a Baptist and this is a casserole." Amen. Amen. Yeah. You know, when the preaching's going on, it's not the time to be fixing the casserole. It's not the time to be getting the dishes ready. It's not the time to be working in the kitchen when the word of God is being preached. That's not the time. All of those things are important, but we've got to do those things in their time. Now, when we get stressed out, sometimes, some people, I'm not saying this is me, and I'm not saying it's you, but sometimes when we get stressed out, we tend to take it out on and blame it on other people. I mean, I know, it's not you, but other people do that. Martha was busy in the kitchen while Mary's sitting in the floor doing nothing. She's just sitting there. And Martha's in the kitchen working and cleaning and cooking and sweating and trying to make the house perfect because they have company. And Mary's just sitting there. And Martha works just as long as she can until she can't take it anymore. And then she goes to Jesus. And I don't know. I don't know how she sounded, but I've got an idea that it was just about like one of my kids telling on one of the other kids. "Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Tell her to come help me." Figure it was something about like that. What a silly thing for anybody to ever ask Jesus if he cares. It's exactly what the Bible says in Mark 4:38, when Jesus was in the back of the ship asleep on a pillow and they awake him and say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Of course he cares. Of course he cares. They didn't understand all that he would do. But they had seen Jesus going around healing the sick. They had heard Jesus' message of the gospel to open the eyes of the blind and cause the deaf to hear and the mute to speak and the lame to walk. They had heard the message that he had come to preach the gospel of peace to them that are in prison, to bring light to the Gentiles. They understood those things and they have the audacity to ask him if he cares. But I want you to know something, friends. When we get stressed out and worried and let all the stuff going on get us so bothered, what we have in our hearts is an idea, an accusation against God that he doesn't care. If you're getting so stressed out and so worried and so where you just can't handle it, in your heart, you may not say it out loud, but with your heart, you say, "God, don't you care? Look at what I'm going through." And obviously, Martha had it really bad because she was doing all the cooking and cleaning by herself. Jesus is the good shepherd and he cares for the sheep. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Tell her to help me. Again, these unique words, this word help is only used twice in the scripture. It's used of the Holy Spirit when it says the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. But it's really a neat word. It says to take hold of opposite together. In other words, it's to get a hold of the other side. If I've got a heavy load, I need somebody to get the other side of it, right? Well, that's what you should do. Some of you guys are like me. Some of you men are like me because you don't want to ask anybody for help, right? Thank you. Bless you. Go ahead and say amen. Go ahead. You know those boxes, they're big and heavy, and they say team lift? I don't believe that. I can get it by myself. Right? I paid for it for a few days, Brother Roger, but I think I can get it on my own. But that's what she's saying. Tell her to help with the load. Tell her to do her part. Tell her to get the other side of this. Tell her to work with me, to cooperate with me. And so many times, when we're focused on what other people aren't doing, we get upset. Tell her to help me. Look at verse 41. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. This word careful is the word, it literally means to be anxious about. This is the idea of anxiety that we have. Now, stress is the outward influence that everybody has. When we let that stress get to us and really bother us, that's what we end up with, we call anxiety. When we allow that stress to continue. So stress, everybody has stresses in their life. That's the outward pressure that we all face. But when we don't deal with that stress in the right way, it turns into anxiety. That's our response to it. Martha, thou art careful. You have anxiety. You're worried. And then he says, troubled. Again, another word that's only used in this passage. And it's the word turbazo. We get, it's shortened to turbid, but it's, or to make turbid, it's to disturb is what it means. You ever driven by a lake or a pond when it's perfectly still? I mean, it's just as smooth as glass. I grew up in Braggs, Oklahoma. Most of you know where that's at. It's an important place in the state. Greenleaf Lake is there. And I've driven by that lake thousands of times. And there's sometimes early in the morning when you go and there's no wind and it's perfectly still. And there'll be a light fog on the top of it. And it's a beautiful thing to see that lake when it's just calm. Every time I see it like that, I just think of the word peaceful, tranquil. To be disturbed is when that gets messed up. And that's what the Lord says about Martha. You're worried, you're careful, and you're troubled, you're disturbed about many things. Verse 42, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I want you to notice that there's something more necessary, more needful than taking care of the physical needs. That's the spiritual. I want you to notice that there was a choice that was made because Mary has chosen that good part. There was a choice to be made. You see, there was an opportunity for Martha to go and sit down too. She had a choice. I can go sit down and listen to Jesus, or I can go get dinner ready. And she chose to go get dinner ready. And the Lord says, Mary has chosen that good part. There was a choice, and Mary made the best choice. You know, we're faced with a lot of choices every day. You wake up in the morning, you can read your Bible, or you can turn on the television. I mean, we have choices all day, every day, and we need to learn to choose to spend time at the feet of Jesus every day. There's other things, and they may not be bad things. It wasn't a bad thing that Martha did, but Mary chose the better thing. And we need to make the better choice. And Jesus said, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Martha, I'm not going to send her to help you because Mary has made the better choice. And I'm not going to take that away from her. She can sit here and listen to me until I'm done talking. She's welcome to stay right here until she gets to hear everything that I have to say. You know, I think it's an amazing thing, friends, that we have an opportunity to sit and learn at the feet of Jesus every day. What an incredible thought. You know, I think about that. I think about what would it be like if Jesus came to your house? What would it be like? I mean, listen, if we're having company, I don't know how it is in your world, but at our house, when we're going to have company, we have to put together the fake house. Does anybody else? Some of you live like that. Like your house is clean and spotless all the time. You're weird. Normal people like us, our house is not fit for company. Listen, I don't even think about inviting somebody over unless I give my wife like 3 weeks notice. She's not in here, and if I want her to know I said any of this, I'll let her know, okay? I'm just telling you that we live in our house, and Melissa and the kids are home all the time, and when you live in a place, it just, well, it looks like it's lived in. And you know, when you have company over, you want it to look like nobody lives there. Right? I mean, when you're going to have people come over, you want it to look like nobody lives here. This is just a model home. Right? It's just been staged for the magazine shoot or something. That's where some of you people live. That's what you want. And I can imagine, you know, anybody comes over, family, friends, church people, it doesn't matter. Anybody's coming to our house, we want to clean it up. We want to make it nice. You want to at least throw all the junk out of the living room and the common areas and hide them somewhere, right? And clean the bathroom everybody's going to use. That's what you want to do. Right. But can you imagine if Jesus was coming over? I mean, how? He's going to know everything. You can't just throw it in the room and close the door. He knows. I mean, you've really got to clean. I can imagine the pressure that Martha felt. That Jesus is coming over. She wants to be hospitable. That's not a bad thing. But how much more important to sit at his feet? Listen, stress and anxiety, depression, all of those issues that face our world today, none of it is new. I'm a pastor. I'm not a medical doctor. But I want to give you a few things very quickly as we finish up tonight. Stress is a response to a threat in a situation. Anxiety is a reaction to that stress, according to the Mental Health Foundation. Stress, however, is not always a bad thing. As a matter of fact, the Lord puts us through high-pressure situations in life. You remember Job? Job said in Job 23:10, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Listen, God sent those things into Job's life to train, to change him, to try him, to purify his life. 1 Peter 1:7, "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." And I know sometimes you feel overwhelmed. Sometimes the stress seems too much. But if it gets to you, friend, if you're saved and it gets to you, it's Father filtered. Nothing can touch you unless God allows it to. Everything that came to Job had to go through God first. Satan couldn't touch anything in Job's life unless God allowed it to come. And so if it gets to you, it has to come through God first. So don't be surprised by it. Don't be shocked by the trials that come into your life. I want you to think about the Apostle Paul and all that he went through, how he had received stripes above measure, imprisons more frequent, and deaths off. He says, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Listen, Paul had incredible stress in his life. Unbelievable stress in his life. And it's amazing when you look at all that he went through, he adds in there, besides all of that stuff, the care. You know, this is the same word. You see, this anxiety, this taking thought is not always a bad thing. We turn it into sin when we don't respond to it in the right way, but it's not always wrong because stress is a reality in our life. See, we've got to understand the difference between anxiety and then when we think about the care and the worry and concern for other people, it's the empathy. Empathy is a term we use for the ability to understand other people's feelings as if we were having them ourselves. Now, I tend to get empathy and sympathy confused. Sympathy is the ability to take part in someone else's feelings, mostly by feeling sorrowful about their misfortune. But empathy is being able to put yourself in their shoes. And listen, when Paul had concern, he was concerned for those other churches, he felt their pain. He felt their sorrow. And friends, that wasn't a bad thing. As a matter of fact, that concern, that care, he was looking for. As a matter of fact, here in 2 Corinthians 11, where I was reading a moment ago, he says in verse 29, "Who is weak, and am I not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not?" In other words, who has stumbled? Who has fallen, and it doesn't just kindle a fire in me? When somebody in the church fell into sin or fell into trouble in their lives, it burned him up, it bothered him, it ignited a fire in him. He cared passionately about other people. He wanted people in the ministry who had that same kind of care. Philippians 2, 19 through 21. Philippians 2, 19 through 21. "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." It's the same word, to take thought, to care. And in a negative sense, it's anxiety, it's being anxious, but in a positive sense, it's care, it's concern, taking thought. He says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." But when he saw Timothy, he said, "Timothy naturally cares for you. Timothy has a concern and a burden and a thought and a passion for you, just like I do." Let's be realistic. Most of us have stress. How many of you feel stressed at work? Put your hand up. It's okay. You can do it. But when it really comes down to worry, when you really, really worry and you know you shouldn't worry like that, how many of you would say you worry more about other people than you do yourself? Your kids and your grandkids and your parents and other people. I think so many times that's when it just overwhelms us. We've got to learn to deal with the stresses that come into our life the right way. God is concerned with every aspect, every part of our being, including our mind. A lot of people today seem to think that when it comes to mental health, that has nothing to do with spiritual things. And I want to tell you as plainly as I can tonight that you cannot separate your spiritual health from your mental health from your physical health. It all goes together. You know, one of the main things that all of the experts today in mental health recommend for stress and anxiety is to eat right and exercise. Did you know that? But before you take medicine, before you take psychotherapy, before you take drugs, you need to eat right and exercise. I wonder why that is. Because experts in mental health understand that you can't separate your mental health from your physical health. You can't do it. They go together. And dear friends, the word of God is clear. You cannot separate your mental health from your spiritual health. Listen, he tells us that we ought to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. It all goes together. Our mind affects every part of us. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." The way you think inside of you, that will change who you are. The spiritual and mental are inextricably linked. I love the word inextricably. It's hard for me to say, but what it means is this. You cannot separate it. You can't take it apart. And our spiritual and mental health go together. They came to Jesus in Mark 5:15 to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Listen, when the demons were gone, his mind was made right. When the spiritual was healed, the mental became good too. We've got to learn to keep our mind on God, trust in him, and he will give us peace. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Friends, if you want to have mental health, if you want to have peace in your heart and mind, if you want to overcome the anxiety, you better keep your heart and mind fixed on Jesus. Listen, it's unrealistic to expect a life that's free from work, that's free from degradation, that's free from tears, that's free from temptation, that's free from enemies, that's free from trials. That's unrealistic. When Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, he called for the elders from Ephesus to meet him at Miletus. And in Acts 20, verses 17 and 19, it says, "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to them, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord, he worked with all humility of mind." There was degradation. He put himself down and put others ahead of himself. "With many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." Listen, so many of us in America today think everything's going to be rosy and good all the time. And if you have any trouble and you have any tears and you have any problems, that obviously God's not for you and you need something. But I'm telling you, that's part of life. And we need to learn to cope with the realities of life. It's not always going to be easy. I told you this morning, the truth hurts. That's what Mama said. It's not always going to be easy. There are going to be days that it's hard. There are going to be days when there's enemies. There's going to be days when it is work. There's going to be days when it's nothing but tears. But do you think for a second that Paul knew that God was with him? Our focus has to be on the spiritual. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Our minds need daily and constant renewal. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." We do that through the word of God and through prayer. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 10. And really it boils down to this, friends. We've got to learn to trust God. I want you to look at this passage of scripture as we get ready to close. Luke chapter 12, verse 25. Luke chapter 12, verse 25. Adrian Rogers said one time, 85% of the things we worry about never happen. And the other 15, we can't do anything about anyway. We've got to learn not to worry. And to do that, we've got to do a few things. Number one, we need to trust the Father. Luke 12, 25. "Which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is the least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful, be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. First of all, we have to trust the Father. God is going to take care of us. We get anxiety because we don't trust the Lord like we should. Next, we have to focus on the spiritual. Go on there, Luke 12:31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We've got to trust the Father. We've got to focus on the spiritual. MacArthur said, Jesus gave us, his children, three reasons for not worrying about this life. It is unnecessary because of our Father. It is uncharacteristic because of our faith. And it is unwise because of our future. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. As we get ready for a verse of invitation tonight, will you stand with me? An estimated 31.1% of U.S. adults experience any anxiety disorder at some time in their lives. Everybody deals with stress, but how we respond to it is what matters. And let's be honest, some days we respond better than others. But we've got to learn to respond biblically every day. Trust the Father. Listen, it's not necessary for you to stress out when you know God. It's not characteristic for you to stress out when you trust in God. And it doesn't make any sense to stress out when you know what tomorrow holds. If you've repented and trusted Christ as your Savior, friend, listen. You believe in God that he can redeem you, that he can break the shackles of sin, that he can give you a home in heaven and save you from damnation and eternal hell. But when we worry, we trust him for all that, but then we can't even trust him to take care of today. It just doesn't make sense. If the Lord is convicting your heart tonight, I want to invite you to come. And friend, listen, if you are stressed out right now, if you're like Martha, cumbered about, careful and troubled about many things, lay your burdens at the feet of Jesus. He knows, and he does care, and he alone can give you peace in your heart and in your mind. If he's convicting your heart now, you come while we sing.